Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Violet Reach Radio. I would like to once again thank the founders of the Forsaken Network for giving me this wonderful opportunity to bring this show to the public, where we will be talking about Reiki, energy healing, all things surrounding Reiki, its discovery, roots, practice, and more. Reiki is universal life force energy. It is an intelligent energy of love and wholeness. Reiki understands the cause of problems and what healing is necessary. Reiki energy has a wisdom of its own, healing and balancing all aspects of a person's mind, body, emotions, and spirit. Reiki is a blessing, an instantaneously conferred sacred potential for healing, protection, and spiritual development. For more information about Violet Rose Reiki, please visit my website, www.violetrosereiki.com, or send me an email at rose@violetrosereiki.com. You can also find me on Facebook as Violet Rose Reiki. Also, on Facebook, I have a page which is called Reiki Ward, which was formed to provide distance Reiki healing for free for humans as well as animals all over the world. It is also used to send distance healing to any kind of situation. Let's say you have a job interview or an appointment or something in the future coming up that you would like to send energy to. We also take requests for that sort of thing. Please visit Reiki Ward. We do 2 to 3 rounds of healing every day at a minimum. And we also place requests on our healing grid for 24/7 energy work and healing. My guest this evening is Dr. Harold D. Steinberg. Dr. Steinberg is here in Huntington, New York, in Suffolk County on Long Island. And Dr. Steinberg has been practicing complementary and alternative medicine exclusively for the past 15 years. Dr. Steinberg has a unique viewpoint on how the body works in seeing issues from the whole body perspective. Of a general surgeon, he often finds causes of illness that other doctors may have missed. His familiarity with a variety of medical approaches, including acupuncture, traditional Chinese medicine, homeopathy, neural therapy, and various forms of chiropractic treatment, contribute to his broad and truly holistic approach to the patient. And in just one moment, we will connect with Dr. Steinberg, and you can call in and present your questions to Dr. Steinberg, and he will be explaining Reiki. Dr. Steinberg has a fantastic way to explain Reiki very simply so that anyone can understand it, and he expounds so much on energy healing and the different nuances. It's a joy to hear him. So let me see if the doctor's available now. Good evening, 631. This is Violet Reiki Radio. And who am I speaking with?
Hi, Rose. It's Dr. Steinberg.
It's Dr. Steinberg. Hi, Dr. Steinberg. So nice of you to join me tonight.
My pleasure.
Okay, so I just informed our audience about your wonderful way to explain Reiki. And let me just check and see if my audio is working. Can you hear us, Dr. Steinberg?
Well, I can hear you on the phone. We weren't able to pick you up on the computer.
Okay, that's odd. Let me see. Okay. All right, now, can you tell me, is your computer on? Can you tell me if you hear me on the computer now?
Let's see. We'll try again. I don't think so. Well, it could just be my computer.
All right. Well, why don't we start with you discussing you as a doctor? What would you say Reiki is?
Well, I look at it from a couple different points of view. You know, of course, I've worked with and known a lot of people who practice Reiki over the years, so I'm somewhat familiar with your viewpoint. But in my practice, I make a habit of trying to figure out how different medical points of view sort of overlay, how they mesh. You know, acupuncturists think a certain way, and there are other forms of what we would call energy techniques, and everybody looks at it their own way, and I try to look for principles or things that are common. Because those are the kind of things where, not that it's necessary, but that it's easier to put forth a if you will, a scientific explanation of what's going on. That really seems to be more of an issue here in the United States, and as you have me go on, you'll hear about some of the things I've learned that European doctors are doing, and they are very comfortable, when appropriate, in using the language of healing and energy techniques. Strictly coming from a science standpoint, I think the best place to start would be something I think the Germans refer to as biophotonic medicine. And to make a long story short, it has to do with a field of light that surrounds the body, which they presume to be the aura that some people are able to perceive in some manner, and that this field of light is generated by the chemistry of our body. And in particular, some of this information goes back as far as 1948, when it was discovered that living human cells give off photons of light in the visible spectrum. It's been presumed for a number of reasons that the particular chemical reactions doing this had to do with DNA, which I guess would make sense since that's not the only controlling unit of the cell, but certainly a major one. And that some of this light, they currently conclude, is feeding back in some manner on the chemistry of our body, and actually keeping things running in as orderly a fashion as they do, and that the leftover light, if you will, forms this field. I have to be honest, we know a lot more about what we can achieve in treating a patient than we do about exactly how it's happening. So there are a number of theories, if you will, as to what's going on.
Okay. Doctor, let me see who's on the phone here. We have a caller. Good evening, 718. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, it's Andre.
Hi, Andre. Do you have a question? Would you like to speak to Dr. Steinberg?
Yeah, I'd like to know, this Reiki is very wonderful, but does it help with, like, past life traumas or, you know, issues with your childhood?
Okay, I'm going to answer that, and then the doctor could put in his 2 cents. Reiki works on issues in the now, in the present. It also works on issues in the past. We can correct things from the past, and we can also send Reiki to situations that will be coming up in the future. So to answer your question, yes, it can.
Okay.
Dr. Steinberg?
Well, from my perspective, not to speak to what Reiki can or can't do, but the intent of the term holistic medicine is to account for as many things as you can that have bearing. In other words, where you can get traction, where if you act on in that realm, you can make progress with someone's problems. And there certainly is a place for past life issues. There are any number of ways that they present in the present, but the physics of it, literally, is that energy or information, whichever you choose to call it, is part of you in this present life. You are attached to that. And in particular, of all of the information from your past, which of course in physics are, you know, past, future, and current really kind of exist all at the same time at a certain level. It's in a given lifetime, you may be more strongly connected to some of those energies or informations. So, you know, perhaps a lifetime from the medieval times is more relevant in your current lifetime than one from another time period.
Right.
But there is some progress to be made through some other energy techniques. And as Rose said, there are certainly things that can be done with that in Reiki.
Okay.
Dr. Steinberg, would you say that it's kind of similar to similar to the Yuen method, wherein when we practice the Yuen method, we're clearing and we're bringing people to a neutral state. We're clearing things from indeed past lives that filter down through to the present one. So is the energy work similar in a physics term to that method?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. And it's even the same sort of problem we get into with the experiences of our daily current lives.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be bringing us information, and in some way we interact with them badly. In particular, get attached to them energetically. There are any number of disciplines that talk about having your energy trapped in the past, being emotionally or energetically attached to past events.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the past life issue is an echo of that. That information we're connected to it because it's important information. It's useful to us in this lifetime, but instead of just using it as a reference, we get attached to it and it becomes a burden.
I agree.
Right, right. So you carry things over from past lives. In other words,
right.
A lot of people are trying to work on things that they know of in their present life. It's like, you know, well, I'm stubborn and I'm a control freak. Let me work on this now. And they focus on working in the things that they see right now in their life. They may not know of or have any idea of what went on in past lives, but yet it may be affecting them right now in this life, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at what's going on in our body, what we experience as a sort of straw that breaks the camel's back phenomenon, you know, it there are all sorts of straws that get loaded on us being a stressor, and it doesn't really matter what the straws are. At a certain point, there's too many to carry, and we experience illness, dis-ease, whatever you want to call it, and some of those straws most definitely can be from a past life.
Okay, and so we could be being affected by something we don't even know about right now, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I not to belabor the point, but I personally know a person who was cured of their asthma by a treatment aimed at resolving a past life issue. Now, I'm sure they had other things wrong with them, whether vitamin or mineral deficiencies or a genetic tendency, but removing the straws off the camel's back that represented the past life emotional energy tilted it in her favor, and she didn't present with asthma any longer without any other intervention.
Great.
Okay.
So also, as far as, like, you know, in your personal life, or, I mean, if in my personal life, I've had, like, traumas. So those still affect you. So do you have to carry those on or no?
Well, it's the traumas that seem to be the most important are the ones that occur somewhere in the range from birth to the age of 21.
Exactly.
When we're formulating and depending on where in age, you know, what your developmental stage was, what the trauma was, is how that's going to echo in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that the German doctors are fond of doing is using some of the philosophy that comes out of people like Steiner, and in that formulation you have 7-year segments where a certain experience is supposed to be taught, and if it's interrupted, that shows up later in life in a similar matched 7-year period. And there are things you can do about that. You can, at least they believe so, you can, once you identify the patterns, you can try to modify them in some manner. I mean, again, it all comes back to energy and Reiki and whatever else you want to call your technique that you're skilled in. All energy moves in cycles, and we see those cycles in our physical life as well, even in our physical body itself.
Right.
Moving forward?
Oh, yeah. You know, so for instance, again, according to certain German medical philosophy, if you will, because I suffered a broken forearm when I was 8 and a half, I can look forward to an echo incident when I'm, the equivalent, I think, is 49 to 56. You know, and it wouldn't necessarily be a broken bone, and it wouldn't necessarily be my forearm. But there's supposed to be an energetic echo of that that's still there that will show in the physical realm.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you, Andre, for calling in. Anything
else? No problem.
Yeah, that was really great.
Yeah, great question.
All right, good night.
All right, good night. Yeah, it's like I've been practicing the Yuen method for about 2 years now, and what we learned in that was to clear, you know, many things. And you can feel the energy shift when you do it, when you center yourself and when you bring yourself to be neutral to a condition, whether it be a physical condition, mental, spiritual, the same with Reiki. You definitely can feel the shift when that thing, you know, when that condition leaves your body. It's like a whoosh, you know, and you feel the relief, or you feel yourself being alleviated of the issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it works. It's very similar to Reiki, but yet the way the energy moves from your body is slightly different. But again, it's all energy medicine.
Well,
energy
sure,
work.
But it's perhaps a different layer of the onion, if you will.
Right, right. Definitely. Let me just tell our guests, announce that they can call in. If you'd like to call in and speak with Dr. Steinberg, the number here is area code 347-677-0699. I'm going to take a little break right now, and we will be back in a little bit.
And that wasn't.
Did you hear he tried out for the school's basketball team? He'd make a better ball than a player.
Yeah, he's so fat, the only exercise he gets is running after the ice cream truck.
Did you see the new girl in English today? She's so ugly, she could make onions cry.
She must like to conserve energy. She clearly gets dressed in the dark every morning.
Not funny? Well, neither is cyberbullying. What you may think is just a harmless joke could really hurt someone's feelings. Think about what you put on the internet. It's no laughing matter.
Okay, and we are back with Dr. Harold Steinberg. He's discussing Reiki, energy medicine, energy therapies, how they're related, how they're similar. And just to let you guys know, if you would like to find Dr. Harold Steinberg, he is in Huntington, New York. His website is www.hd, like David, S for Sam, M for Mary, D for David.com. And his phone number is 631-470-4317. You can also email me if you could not write this down, just Violet Rose Reiki on Facebook, and I'll give you the information. And if you need my information, you can find me on Facebook as Violet Rose Reiki. You can email me at rose@violetrosereiki.com. My website is www.violetrosereiki.com. Feel free to send an email. We will give you whatever information you need. You need information on me, Dr. Steinberg, whatever, Reiki, energy healing, medicine. Just reach out and I will give you the information you're requesting. And now we're going to go back to Dr. Steinberg. Hi, Dr. Steinberg.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. What are the other similarities that you find between these different methods of healing, like the Yuen, the Reconnection, Reiki? I'm trying to think there are other ones out there, Matrix, Energetics. What do you find maybe the key that connects these together?
Well, actually, the one thing that really runs through all of them is what I guess it would be easy enough to call the intent to heal. There is an intention by the operator, by the practitioner, to accomplish a certain task. And in fact, the German doctors will speak that way about using the green laser in the particular way they do, that one of their theories is perhaps the reason a laser works is the coherent light is carrying the intent to heal to the patient. And I think that wherever the differences may lie, and there may be other similarities, I think the most important one is that intent is essential.
Okay, so would you say the intent acts as a channel to carry the energy?
Well, that may be true, but I mean, in the case of the laser, they think of the laser beam as being the channel, and the intent is carried along with that other energy. So I sort of think of it more, at least personally, what works for me is thinking of the intent as the tuning knob on the device, if you will.
Okay, and if we didn't have a laser, then...
Well, when I say device, I use that term loosely. There are some of us who are natural-born healers or show some talent or learn a particular technique to utilize that in a strictly hands-on fashion. Although, if I'm not mistaken, you use stones or may use stones or other things as well. In that sense, you can say anything short of just doing it with your bare hands is using a crutch of one form or another, or you might look at it as a magnifier, you know, depending upon your point of view. But, it was a poor choice of words, perhaps, to say device, because in that I include no device at all, you know, that... when someone is doing energy healing, that they themselves, their intent is tuning the energy that ultimately gets to the patient. Just as when I shine my laser at someone, I'm influencing what actually occurs.
Okay, well, yeah, what I was asking was if the laser is a channel, so to speak, the person, well, when it comes to Reiki, if there's a person sending the energy or utilizing the energy, it's what we call, we are a channel, correct? The person who is giving the Reiki is the channel, wherein the laser is, if you're using a laser, the laser is the channel, right?
Yeah. Again, you know, there are theories as to how the laser operates, and you probably could look at it either way. The good. And certainly the fact that different individuals using the laser, just as energy healers, one isn't better than another. They're just different than, they're each different. People with the laser, you know, for instance, the two people I can think of that I taught how to use it the way I do, and occasionally there'll be a patient that one of them can't fix and I can, or vice versa. You know, we have no idea what's up with that. But certainly there's a some people are better at it earlier on, you know, perhaps I'd say.
Are we talking about better at the energy or better at the laser work?
Yeah, and I guess if someone, if two different people can be different at it, or someone can be better at it, have more talent for it initially, I guess in a sense that may make a case for the individual being more of, you know, participating as a channel.
But yeah, but now here you're getting into something as an individualistic. When it comes to Reiki, it doesn't matter who's practicing it. This is something that everyone can learn and everyone can use. It's irregardless of your age or your station in life or how educated you are or whatever. So in theory, you know, the way we approach Reiki, there really is no one person better at Reiki than another.
Well,
it's all about the energy. It's all about the universal life force energy that we have no control over.
Correct, but are not more experienced practitioners generally more efficient at allowing that energy to flow through them?
You're talking about an individual person. You're talking about maybe levels of expertise, speciality, and that's really not Reiki related.
Okay.
So,
and that's not even really what I was talking about.
Right.
Although it seems that the more you use the laser, the better you seem to get at it, if you will. It's not so much a matter that there's a problem in the universality. It can be taught to anyone. The fact is that because, at least if you're going to explain it from the scientific side, there's some quantum physics stuff going on, and that means that the individual has some influence, flavors the treatment, if you will. The easiest way I can say it is if someone just picked up the laser and waved it at someone else, nothing, for the most part, would happen. There has to be some intention by the individual to accomplish something. And there's no set way that you have to think about it. It seems that you can accomplish what you need to accomplish using the laser regardless of what you in your own head believe it is, how it is achieving that.
All right. And again, there's the big believe word. You know, there are some people who feel that you must believe in Reiki or you must believe in the energy medicine technique that is being performed or that you're requesting, because if you don't believe in it, it's not going to work. So,
right.
What are your feelings on believing it's going to work, believing in the therapy? What role does that play in the actual healing?
Well, traditionally, as you well know, the one of the prime impediments to energy healing techniques is the resistance of the receiver, of the patient, the client, whether conscious or unconscious. And generally speaking, having a conscious disbelief in the treatment, whether it's a disbelief that it can work or, as I've learned from other practitioners, even a disbelief at some level that they deserve to be healed. But what I find interesting there is this laser thing has brought up another thought to me, because traditionally I've thought of it just as I described, the traditional energy point of view. But when I first learned how to use the laser and explained as best I could my understanding of how it worked to my initial patients, most of them consciously expressed disbelief. You know, they were patients of mine that I had fixed something else using a different technique, and many of them said directly, well, you know, that's a very nice explanation, but there's no way you're going to be able to fix me with that little green light. And yet that didn't seem to be an impediment to the laser working. And it made a question in my mind whether the issue was belief or whether it was understanding. The average person, I don't think, can explain to themselves the mechanism, if you will, because we are at a very, in large part, intellectual, you know, thinking creatures, and can't really explain to themselves how this healer person is able to heal them. Whereas, right, even if you're not particularly, you know, good at science, we have this inherent understanding, you know, that science knows what it's talking about, they must. And that it's a little easier to wrap your mind around even a quasi-scientific explanation than it is the phenomenon of healing itself.
Now, right, which brings me to the next point. What do you think about the fact that we're hearing a lot about Reiki now is becoming mainstream? It seems to be coming into its own as an energy medicine, and people are more accepting of it. Do you think, I mean, well, it's being used in a lot of hospitals nowadays, which it wasn't 10 years ago or so, and it's being used by a lot of different people. More and more Reiki practitioners are coming into the fold. You hear more about it. What do you think about Reiki going mainstream?
Well, I think it's way past time for Reiki and any number of other treatments. I think aside from the good literature, which has been very positive, you know, scientific documentation, which has really been there for quite some time, and the media presence of some of these treatments, you know, due to some of the television doctors that we have nowadays, I think even more importantly, the reason Reiki ultimately came to where it is because more and more and more the bottom line, the dollars really matter. And once you prove to a doctor or a hospital that you can save the money, they're going to be interested. And, you know, I've seen that happen with other quote unquote alternative treatments, you know, mineral intravenouses and things like that. And often it starts out as some patient saying, no, I won't have my treatment, my surgery, whatever it is, unless I get XYZ. And everybody finally relents and says, yeah, fine, you know, we'll let the doctor in with his stupid bag of minerals and vitamins, or we'll let the Reiki practitioner in and let him do whatever. We'll get to do our thing. And when they notice that the patient gets better like nobody else they've seen before, that's not lost on them. You know, the next thing you know, the doctors are saying, I want this done on my patient before surgery.
Right. I have a question here. This came in on Facebook email because I guess the person is having a problem with their Skype or getting back onto the chat. But this is from a Reiki master practitioner who says she disagrees with the Reiki practitioner needs to set an intention to do Reiki, that there needs to be an intent. In her opinion, setting an intention is letting the ego get in the way because there is a predetermined outcome by the practitioner.
Well,
so what do you think of that?
Well, perhaps it's just a matter of misunderstanding. When you see a client, do you not ascertain from them in some manner what they perceive to be their problem?
Yes.
Well, there you go. If they come to you and their problem is they can't sleep, or they come to you and their problem is their back hurts, your intention is to resolve that issue.
Okay. Maybe it's semantics of words to me, if someone comes to me, when I have a client and they come to me, I will say to them, why are you coming here? What is it that brought you here? What would you say is your specific problem? And then they'll tell me. And usually I will keep a mind on that problem that's what you need to kind of not focus on, but that's what you need to pay a little more attention to. So I wouldn't say I'm setting an intention for that particular issue, but it is in my mindset.
Right. But if now what happens if a patient comes to you complaining of headache?
We don't have patients, doctor. We have clients.
I know you have clients. My wife always rags on me when I say that to her. I don't have patients. I have clients. Anyway.
Reiki practitioner said, I have patients. No, you don't have patients. Doctors have patients. You have clients.
Medical practitioners are medical practitioners to me. You know, I'm not so interested in what initials people have after their name as much as what they can do for somebody. So, but that's just me. For goodness sake, what was I saying?
We went off on a tangent. I apologize.
It's getting late in the day.
One thing I'll say is, like, you know, when a client comes and we have them on the table, we're starting to perform the Reiki. Generally, what we will do is, you know, we have our hands in the gassho position, and then we're bringing those in front of our heart. We're connecting to the Reiki energy, and then we bring these hands in front of our third eye, and we are asking the Reiki to guide our hands. You know, where they need to go. And we're also asking for assistance during the session. And, you know, it's like setting an intent, but we're not setting an intent. I don't know if that's understandable.
No, it is. And really with laser, it's no different. It's just a matter of someone can't walk in and say, just wave it at me and fix whatever it is that's wrong. You have to at least know what's wrong.
Right.
You're not necessarily saying, I'm going to fix it this way. I'm going to accomplish this thing. But you are trying to accomplish eliminating the patient's complaint.
Right. Right.
I know you're not specifically thinking about that when you're treating the patient. You establish that when the patient says, hey, you know, my knee hurts. You say, okay, well, then I guess we got to fix your knee.
Exactly. It's like I had a client come in and she didn't really tell me what her, you know, she said she was coming for relaxation. She was coming for a general all-around healing and everything. However, Doing the BioSense scanning, I picked up something in her right knee. And mm-hmm. I asked her, I said, is your right knee bothering you? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, I don't know what it is lately, but I like to dance, and I haven't been able to dance because I have this pain in the knee. Okay. Well, Reiki led me to the knee, and I went and I did Reiki on her knee. And I'm going to also add here with the Reiki, I was inspired. When I do my healing sessions, a lot of times I'm intuitively inspired to use crystals. I may use crystals. I may not use crystals. I may do a crystal layout. I may use two crystals just on a particular part of the body. It depends on what I'm intuiting on what this particular client needs. And in her case, I used three crystals on the knee with the Reiki. And when the session was over, she couldn't believe how her knee was absolutely fine. No pain, no nothing. Now, she did not tell me that at the beginning of the session, but, you know, Reiki has its way of knowing what needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's happened to me on one occasion, and I honestly can't say what that was about, but I was treating someone for some issues with their foot and then their ankle. And before I moved on to the shoulder, I noticed that all the swelling in both legs had disappeared. And this person had both trouble with congestive heart failure and bad veins in the legs. So, you know, other than having acted in some way like acupuncture and hit the reset button on some of the veins in the leg, but it was totally by accident. You know, that was not at all in my mind or intent. That's not what I was treating. You know, it just sort of got out of hand and decided to just do healing on its own, I guess.
All right, right. Wow, okay. We are coming up on the 15-minute mark here. I'm going to take a little short break, and I'll be back. We'll both of us be back, myself and Dr. Steinberg. Okay, once again, a little bit of information. If you'd like to call into the show, we've got about 15 minutes left. The number here is 347-677-0699. You can ask Dr. Harold E. Steinberg or myself any question you may have about Reiki or energy healing. For more information on myself, Violet Rose Reiki, you can go to my website, which is www.violetrosereiki.com. Or send an email to rose@violetrosereiki.com. You can also find me on Facebook as Violet Rose Reiki. I also have a Facebook page which is called Reiki Ward. We do free distant healing for humans, animals, situations. Look us up under pages, and the name again is Reiki Ward. Dr. Steinberg can be found at www.H for Harold, E for David, S for Steinberg, MD.com. His phone number here in Suffolk County, Long Island, in Huntington is 631-470-4317. If you would like to set up an appointment to see Dr. Steinberg, to have a consultation, see if he can help you, by all means, please give him a call. Either Dr. Steinberg or someone in his office would be glad to answer any of your questions and connect. And we're going to go back to the show now. Okay. So, Dr. Steinberg, would you say that Reiki can perform by itself? Does it need things like crystals, grids, and all kinds of things, or is the energy itself sufficient for healing?
Well, I imagine that would depend on the individual practitioner, but I don't think there's any kind of absolute requirement in energy healing for anything other than the individual. In fact, one of my teachers, a different style of energy healing, one that uses homeopathics and frequency medicines and other such things, still those are considered useful, and they make things easier, but either by experience or by perhaps being gifted, individuals need them less and less and less, to the point where ultimately all you need is the practitioner. Now, of course, I've heard it talked about in terms of as you go through practice, you know, working on people, that your connection, if you will, to the energy or the information is easier to achieve or is greater. They're all different explanations. Some that include the practitioner as a channel, some that don't.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think any device or mechanism or stone is necessary. I think if an individual can achieve what they want without them, then certainly they don't need them. And if there's something more in their practice they want to achieve, then certainly that's something they might try.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of these? I just saw another film the other night about a Chinese medicine. I don't know if he was a Qigong practitioner, but there's also a video on an Asian man named Johnny Chang, and it's on my website somewhere, I think under energy medicine or something. There's a video there, and they're showing you both men doing fantastic things with the qi energy, with what we call in Reiki the qi, in Chinese it's qi, and you know, that they're actually setting paper on fire. They are, you know, this one man put a needle through a table. I mean, the energy is so phenomenal. And it's like we just said, there are no props. It's just they're using the qi from what we call the tantien, 2 inches below the belly button, that center of the body. And they're doing all these fantastic things. What do you think about that?
Oh, well, first of all, there's no question in my mind that this is real, and that's not the only technique of mobilizing energy where people have been able to achieve equally phenomenal results. What I think in a practical matter is that there probably aren't very many of us that can genuinely aspire to be that good. So it's more important what we can achieve in the amount of energy that the average person, you know, the amount of qi the average person is capable of bringing to bear.
Well, here's a good question. Now, as you're saying this, I'm thinking, and I've thought this before, do you think it's because these people are from the East, where they're used to meditation, discipline? There are many martial arts coming out of the East, and they have the kind of lifestyle that lends itself toward that type of development, whereas here in the West, you know, we're all, when it comes to ourselves and self-development and self-improvement, it's gotten better over the years, but I think a Westerner's thought process is, Give me instant coffee and microwave dinners, and I'm good to go. This is all I need to have a happy life. Do you think the cultural diversity that a lot of people here in the West are like, well, I see they could do it, but I don't think I could. I don't really want to invest that amount of time in myself to develop my energy center, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I think if you're looking to develop your energy centers to the point of the best in the world, either that's what's in your heart to do or it's not. The big
the best in the world. Are you looking? What I'm saying is, you know, are we too lazy to develop our energy center to work with our own aura, to work with our own, you know, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual energies to make ourselves the best we can be? Are we just too lazy?
Well, it's not. If we had more time, I could make the biological argument is how we're programmed to be lazy. It's
okay,
better.
So we'll have you back for
but
that.
Culture is a big issue. It's a lot easier for the more introspective, and it's not even passive. It's yin and yang. You know, we're all yang. We're all hit the ball harder, you know, run faster, whereas martial art is, there's the soft yielding side when appropriate as well. And we have to learn that. So it's sort of like there's two steps for us. We have to learn that style of thinking and then we have to apply it. But look, a lot of people who go into the kind of medicine that I went into, and I'm sure a lot of people that go into Reiki and other forms of energy healing end up there because of their own problems that the regular doctors couldn't fix, or a relative or friend situation, and things like that. Motivate us. You know, you have a motivation, now you're not so lazy anymore. But, I mean, it doesn't take a lifetime to become a competent practitioner in Reiki.
Right.
Or in any other things. You just need to, you know, be a little motivated.
Right. Well, a bad back led me to Reiki. I had no intention on going where I went and becoming an accomplished Reiki master teacher, but that's what got me into it. And having a mother who had been on 23 pills daily her entire life until she died, it was like, no, I don't want that to be me. Definitely, yeah, that's definite motivation.
Oh, yeah, well, as you know, my story, the same. You know, if I hadn't been a back pain sufferer my whole life, I wouldn't have learned a lot of the things I've learned in search for that answer.
Yeah, like I say to everyone, and people, you know, they laugh at me, but it's true. It's like when you let the universe drive the bus and you kind of just listen to that inner voice deep inside of you and listen to your intuition, which is wisdom, and you go with the flow and you allow it to guide you, as I was guided to go to Reiki and you were guided to go into the medicine you're into, you know, you are on the right path. But so many people, oh, no, it has to be, you know, I need a pill for this. I need pills.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Well, Dr. Steinberg, it was wonderful having you here with me this evening and discussing all of the energy medicine and how energy does work. I'd love to have you back again. And once again, people, if you would like to contact Dr. Harold Steinberg, his phone number is 631-470-4317. I'm sure he'd love to speak to you and discuss how he can help you. Again, I'm Rose at violetrosereiki.com. If you'd like to send me an email, check out www.violetrosereiki.com. We have new therapies coming out. We have new services that we're adding. There's going to be a meditation circle in November. Look forward to speaking with you. And I hope to see you all next week. Have a lovely week. God bless you all. Thank you for listening. Good evening. Sweet dreams.